Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm also your host, Cliff.
And we are doing better at recording on time. Mm-hmm, not great, but better.
I mean, this is normal-ish time.
It's close to almost being good.
It's fine.
That should be our slogan. We'll change it from the podcast guide to the great indoors, which is like, close to almost being good.
So close. Missed it by that much.
The Indoorsman, missed it by that much. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. It's been like 20 minutes since we last recorded an episode, so not much has happened, really. Thankfully, by being late today, we get to talk about the Super Bowl ads that have happened during the Super Bowl, the American football sport event that I hear had happened.
That's not tomorrow, that was this morning.
The Patriots lost?
Correct.
I think. And the other team won?
Correct.
Okay. That's good because the Patriots, their logo is terrible.
I mean, they're...
And that's what I judge sport teams
all,
on.
All the logos are terrible.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so who cares about the sport bit because we got trailers. Do we want to start with that or do we want to start with video games?
I have played the same thing that I played recently.
Let's start with Super Bowl.
Sure.
You have the list of Super Bowl events. Please, begin.
We got a... And I don't know why this is becoming a thing, but we got a trailer for a trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know why we need to get a trailer to then see a trailer of Solo. Just show us the fucking trailer.
Yeah, I realized that Disney had to put something in the Super Bowl, and as you were saying earlier, maybe 2-3 minutes for a full trailer was too expensive even for Disney, but that teaser was pretty good. Like, I thought it had a real sense of style, like all the stuff happening in the footage in beat to the music. Also, fucking Childish Gambino as Lando Calrissian in the flyest coat that's ever been in Star Wars.
Lando does look pretty
Everything
great,
else I right? don't care about. Yeah, I'm enjoying Childish Landino, so I can let it go on that. We got a very bare hint of what young Solo looks like. I feel like the actor who's playing young Harrison Ford looks enough like him that it'll be passable, so cool.
I mean, it doesn't really matter if he looks like him.
This is true.
I mean, like, you've got Lando and Gambino, and they're both black guys with moustaches, so... That's fine. And you're just like white scruffy guy and white scruffy guy. You're fine. It's all good.
Yeah. And Woody Harrelson, I think. Did I
see
Woody
Harrelson?
Well.
And so is Emilia Clarke too. Looking very kind of, she looked very mummish to me.
Yeah, it was hard to pick her straight away. A, because she didn't have silver hair.
I picked her instantly. I'm like, why is Daenerys looking like an old, almost middle aged mum?
Because everyone has to look slightly frumpy so that Lando can look even better.
You mean so Chewie can look even better?
His Chewie coat, yeah.
Fuck Lando. Chewie's where it's at.
No. Donald Glover, he can sing, he can act, he can dress to the nines, he can do all of the things. People shouldn't be allowed to have more than one talent. I do not approve.
Chewbacca can tear people's arms out of their socket when he loses in games.
Yeah, but Lando drinks blue milk.
Yeah, but Chewbacca has a giant, like, crossbow.
Yeah, but Lando drinks blue milk.
Yeah, but Chewbacca is giant and fuzzy.
So is Lando's coat.
Nah, but Chewie's just that. He's like a teddy bear. He's a giant teddy bear that will fuck people off if they mess with you.
Big, sad teddy bear. Yeah, so that was 45 seconds of trailer that we've talked about for, like, 6 minutes straight. So what else did we have on the list?
Apparently Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. Don't care.
Didn't even see that.
Apparently there was a thing about Krypton, a show where they're doing what Gotham did. We're like, you know what's going to be great? Let's have a Batman show without Batman. And people apparently...
So they kind of gave up on that in season two and just leaned into the
And they were just
nonsense.
Like, yeah, this Batman show without Batman sucks. We have to put Batman in it and then just put everyone except technically Batman in it. And so
I really need to go back and watch Gotham. I think I literally stopped watching on the penultimate episode of season one.
Yeah.
So if I just run into season two, I'll have a good time.
Once they just lent into it and just like, fuck it, like, we're just going to go like crazy batshit insane.
Yeah.
It was apparently got a lot better. But now they're doing it with Superman. So let's have a Superman show without Superman.
Yeah. Boy. After seeing that trailer the other week, I don't get it.
It looks very nice. I quite look the aesthetic, like the aesthetic, but it's just, I don't care about a show about people that aren't super.
Exactly. It's just not interesting. Who cares? I'll still give it a try, the usual, you know, episode or two, just to give it a chance, but I don't expect much, to be honest.
What you need to know about Krypton is that they were a once great civilization in decline, and due to their own hubris, they destroyed themselves.
Exactly. But,
and you get all that from, like, I actually quite like the Man of Steel version of the Fall of Krypton. I thought that was actually quite good. You don't need anything more than he's the last surviving child of a thing. Who cares about the old decrepit race? Anyway, we're giving Krypton way too much talk because who cares about that show?
Exactly.
There was a Black Panther trailer as well.
There was?
Apparently, like a little teaser thing. Probably just like a little spot, like a 30-second spot. Had some, you know, they had 4.32 seconds extra of new footage that wasn't anything else.
I didn't see that. I did see like a clip from the movie that was released the other day. I mean, it's one of the things you've seen footage of in the trailers. One of the Dora Milaje wearing like a red dress fighting with a staff in like a bar or a restaurant or something. It's kind of the minute surrounding that. What kind of like confused me about that clip though was that at the start of the clip, you see a woman in a red dress with like big natural kind of afro hair. She reminded me of the main character from How to Get Away with Murder. And then she just kind of rips it off. It's a wig so she can start fighting and looks super badass with her like clean shaven head.
As you're talking, I'm watching the clip that is in this list.
Yeah.
And there's a few bits in there, like a few flashes of new stuff, but it was like, yeah, 30 second spot with like a couple of things in it. And of course they had to still in that 30 seconds show the same, what the is become flip. Now a very tired thing to throw in an action movie is the car. And yeah, boring.
It is a cool shot. It's oversaturated, so it's not going to land in the movie anymore.
No. And we've seen that happen a bunch in other movies already. It's just not that exciting or groundbreaking a new shot. It's like the bullet dodge from Matrix. That shit was awesome. Yeah. You see it, you can't believe just what you just saw. And then you see it in every other movie, and by the 10th movie, you're like, yeah, there's another bullet dodge.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that means that there's some even cooler moments in the film that they haven't used. That would be unusual for Marvel to not throw everything good in the trailer. And, you know, if Black Panther is going to be a breakaway unique hit, being, you know, a black-led, black-controlled production, they could also try not giving away everything for free.
Yeah.
That would be revolutionary.
I've kind of stopped watching Black Panther stuff now because it's just, I don't...
Yeah,
Marvel are terrible at doing that. I'll watch the first trailer and then maybe like a final trailer, maybe. But at this point, like I don't need to see anything more. The movie was already sold to me just because it's part of the MCU. So you don't need to push it, keep ramming down our throats. Like with Spider-Man, they just rammed it down our throats even though it's fucking Spider-Man in the MCU. You could have just released the movie and said, Spider-Man's out in 3 weeks, and you would have had just as much money made than if you didn't tell anyone that Spider-Man was coming out. Or if you just did like over it. It's crazy. So that's that. There's a movie called Rise. I don't even know what that movie looks like about high school football. Who cares? Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah, that was a good trailer.
It was. It looks very... like they're going more like a newer, different version of Indominus Rex, a smaller version.
Yeah. It also the kind of the whole pacing and cinematography felt a lot more horror.
Oh, it plays like a horror movie. Yeah. They play up the, some of the shots are almost frame for frame shots, from the original Jurassic Park, but for Jurassic World, like with the shot with the horse's head in this, and then you see this new hybrid raptory Indominus Rex type thing. Whatever it is, because it's too big to be a raptor, but it's also too small to be a proper Indominus Rex unless it's a juvenile. You see the head shot, like the shadow moving, but like kind of. So it's the same kind of thing, but it looks very, very cool. It looks like it's going to be Chris Pratt and Blue on adventures.
Yeah. He just kind of sicks him on a bad dinosaur at one point, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So it looks like that's cool. It looks like the scene in the bedroom with the little girl is going to be quite tense. Although it looks like the little girl might have a lot more contact with this dinosaur than maybe with the trailer show. It almost hinted like it was like the dinosaur maybe thinks that this little girl is its pet or something.
There was kind of a weird creepy vibe like that. There was a vibe.
Yeah. Like the kid's like, oh, mommy, daddy, like a dinosaur. And like they're just like, yeah, yeah, kid.
Or like this isn't the first time that it's done this or something. So, like it hounds her at night.
Yeah, it stalks her. The rumors are that this creature or the Indominus Rex in the first place may have had human DNA in it mixed in with the thing. So this could be maybe a further
spiteful dinosaur.
So you could have, what's his face, Dr. Wu? Was his name Wu?
Maybe?
What's his name? The dude that's in the first Jurassic Park and then comes back for World.
Yeah, yeah, who is also from Law and Order.
Sure. BD Wong. So he might be, he might have been in the lab late one night, decided to throw a bit of DNA into that. So he might be shooting webs.
See what happened?
To that DNA.
Yep.
Creepy, but good trailer. Yep. I'm looking forward to it. I like Jurassic
World. So the thing that they haven't revealed is that this new scary dinosaur actually has BD Wong's face.
Mm. Super creepy, but it's like stretched out over like human face. A snout, like an elongated skull. It's super creepy.
Yep. Like putting a decal on a custom character in a WWE game.
Exactly. So I think stuff of nightmares, but it looks like it could be fun because it looks like it's two very... It looks like it's going... And this is a little bit disappointing, admittedly, but they're remaking Lost World by having like... We've got to evacuate dinosaurs out of there. Because there's a...
Yeah.
This time, because it's a ecological disaster, so they're going to save some of them. Then it looks like one of them might get out. And then so... And then you have the whole, like, thing. So it looks like there's some parallels there that could be linked. Could be completely different, but who knows. Let's hope it's not just a remake of things, because I hate... it's well documented that I hate movies, remaking movies that have already come out, basically play for play. So there's that. There's another movie called A Quiet Place. I don't really know what that's about.
Or a movie. Yeah, people are saying that looks really interesting, but I haven't checked out the trailer yet.
Some sort of crazy horror movie, I imagine.
Yeah.
It's
got John Krasinski in it, I think. Like Jim from The Office.
Oh, it's got a bit of bite in it too. Oh, he's got a beard, that guy.
Ooh. I'm on board.
He wrote and directed it, apparently. Well, it says writer-director on his thing. Maybe that's just what... I'm not listening.
His character's name is writer-director.
Maybe.
Cool.
Yep. There's the Not Black Widow movie.
Red Sparrow?
Yep. I thought this movie was actually out already because we got like a full trailer for this. It seemed like almost like a year ago, but it's probably in reality like 5 months ago.
Yeah,
I mean... I'm not a massive fan of like the crazy Uber spy stories, so and
yeah, never cared for them.
Yeah, and so like when people go on about like a crazy like everyone wants a Black Widow story, like we've already got a bunch of a backstory already, and I'm not a really big spy fan, so I'm just like, it's just going to be another generic spy movie. So I don't really think. But what I would like to see though, I was actually talking about this and with one of my other friends, and one of the stories I would like to see
is you have other friends,
like one or two. But maybe because there's this whole like Black Widow, like Hawkeye effectively turned Black Widow, like that movie potentially, because that's an important part. But otherwise I just don't want a generic spy movie because there's a bunch of them.
I mean, I did like the kind of spy intrigue in Winter Soldier. That was pretty cool. If you had a movie in that kind of bent by the, was that the Russo brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd be into that kind of thing. But yeah, just plain old spy movie, don't care.
And like I said, we've got a chunk of a backstory already over a few different films. So unless they're giving us something actually interesting, because Black Widow, it's like, yeah, Black Widow, she's great, but we don't necessarily need a movie unless they're going to actually give us something interesting.
Exactly.
She, again, the same friend that I was talking about, said that it might work as like a short Netflix miniseries. There's like a few things.
Yeah, no, I could play that.
Like, and like Hawkeye could work in that as well. You could do Hawkeye pre Hawkeye. You could do, I want Hawkeye basically. Just make Hawkeye. Yes. But you could do some of those smaller characters. You could just do like a 3 or 4 episode like miniseries on Netflix and just like throw them out there. So you don't have to give them like the full production of a movie because they might not necessarily dictate a full movie. But filling in a few gaps here, that could work. But yeah, I don't really care about the movie Red Sparrow specifically. There's a movie called Skyscraper that looks like it...
Yeah, this is the movie where everyone's making fun of the poster.
Right. The Rock is in it?
Yeah. So the poster that was revealed, I guess alongside the trailer, is him jumping from like an exposed beam onto a skyscraper.
Mm-hmm.
And someone literally looked at it and said, there's no way he's going to make it to that hole in the skyscraper. And drew sort of all the possible parabolas of how he might have jumped.
Yep, I'm watching that's literally just in the trailer right now as I'm watching it, yep.
Yeah, whether he sort of stood on the end and jumped, or he got a run-up and somehow maintained perfect velocity, or if it was some sort of squat thrust thing, but there's no way he could make it to the hole on the other side.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's probably a movie I had no idea was coming out.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a Rock movie coming out, isn't there?
Yeah, but he's The Rock, so I'll allow it. Because he's a very good comedy actor. He's underutilized as a proper comedy actor. He gets put in like shitty movies instead of like good movies where he can be a comedy actor. So
yeah.
There's that. So, yep, cool. If that's your deal, go nuts. I'm sure it'll be a passable action movie, generic action movie.
Yeah. What was its very generic title again?
Skyscraper.
Skyscraper.
It's I'd about a giant skyscraper.
What?
Groundbreaking stuff.
Right.
Like at least twice as big as the Empire State Building, according to the graphic they had in the trailer just before. Apparently, well, according to this, the Empire State Building is 1,250 feet. This one is 3,500 feet.
Wow. What? That's very exciting information to me.
Yeah.
Mm. So that's a thing. What else have we got?
So one of the more interesting... releases was a reveal where it's basically just Netflix just basically whipped out their dick and went and slapped everyone on the face and went, it's out, and went, the Cloverfield paradox is out.
Yep.
So movie number 3 in the Cloverfield series.
They announced and released the third Cloverfield movie in the space of 4 hours.
Yeah.
And dropped it immediately after the Super Bowl as a fuck you to the after game entertainment stuff.
And a kind of a cool way that Netflix is doing this, where they're just like, you know that movie Moon? We're getting Mute on Netflix too in a couple of weeks' time. No cinema, just straight to Netflix. And that is awesome, and people are going like crazy about it because it affects apparently their bottom line, because movies can't make money, except they must still be making money, or Netflix must have figured it out. But anyway, that's coming out, and I look forward to that because... whatever it was, like 10 Cloverfield Lane was awesome.
I haven't watched any of the Cloverfields, so just like this whole situation, I kind of want to do it. Also, the fact that it's directed by Ava DuVernay, who's also behind A Wrinkle in Time, and sort of, yeah, got to do this cool drop and have like a really diverse cast, which is always nice. Yeah, it looks like it'll be entertaining from the trailer, even though I didn't understand any of the reference stuff to the previous movies.
Well, the second movie is not a direct sequel.
Yeah, yeah. They're all sort of part of the same overarching Abrams mystery.
But it's fucking J.J. Abrams, so I'm sure we have to get 400 movies before they even explain what's happening, and then we'll get to the end. And
don't forget the AIG.
And it won't actually make sense because they dug themselves into a stupid fucking hole. And it'll be a massive letdown. So, please, J.J. Abrams, don't J.J. Abrams this shit up. Like, just fucking tell us some good stories and actually link them properly so we don't have to do ridiculous things to piece them together. Just stop.
Lost.
Lost is fucking horrible for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
The worst. So, please don't Lost this up. Just link them together properly and in logical ways. Don't try and be too clever. That's your biggest failing, trying to be too clever. Just stop.
Yeah, you can't cover all your mistakes with lens flare. Yeah, exactly. Very funny joke.
And you can, while you're at it, you can go and tell Shyamalan to stop that shit too. You don't need an epic twist in every single movie. Stop it. So there's that. So I'll definitely be watching that. You should definitely watch, even if you don't watch the original Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane is great. John Goodman, excellent. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Elizabeth. Ooh. Yeah, she's in that too. She's awesome in it as well.
Nice.
Wakes up locked up in a basement of John Goodman's. So moving on from that, Mission Impossible 6 Fallout. At this point, I don't really care about the Mission Impossible movies. Even though they've got a great cast, just don't care. More generic spy shit with Tom Cruise doing crazy stunts in real life.
The 6 movies in, and the only character development Tom Cruise has gotten is running. That's it.
This one time, he hung out of a plane.
Wow.
Yep. The movies do have Simon Pegg in it, and Simon Pegg is amazing.
And he looks like he's playing a 400-year-old man in this one.
Plus, they've got Henry Cavill's moustache, so they've got that going for it too.
Oh.
But still not... That's the moustache.
What a get.
It's the moustache.
Oh.
That caused the Justice League rubber lip...
Chin junk. Explosion. Oh, yeah.
Horrible. Some people...
So bad.
Some people have actually told me that they didn't even notice, and it was the first fucking thing my brain saw in the movie.
How did you not?
I felt like I was punched in the face by his fake lip. It was horrible. It was nasty.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on. The thing I'm looking forward to most of all the reveals today, Westworld Season 2.
Yes.
Dated. About time.
Yeah.
3 days after my birthday. Cannot wait. It's going to be great in April.
April 22.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I'll be all over this shit.
And some very nice cinematography in that trailer as well.
I didn't watch it because I want to go in like a fresh virgin
for it.
Because I barely watched any of the trailers going into the first season. I'm just going to trust them. It's going to be amazing.
Well, it was a good trailer anyway. I enjoyed it. I do enjoy a bit of slow motion in a trailer, so that's always good. But yeah, Westworld is coming. Hooray.
Mm-hmm. About time. Stop. The season 3 better not be 18 months or more.
Exponentially increases.
Yeah, but it's like people love the show. You don't need to worry about is it even going to be liked anymore. Just greenlight season 3 and just start production already. Just go. So the last one on the list here is, of course, something that we're all looking forward to, Infinity War. So we got another 30-second spot. Sure, so a couple of cool new things, but overall... Doesn't really.
Yeah, mostly it was just combo shots of different supers.
Look who's standing next to each other. Together. This is great. Now look who's standing next to each other. It was that.
It was all very kind of blink and you'll miss it, but I did enjoy I think it was the final shot in the trailer before Thanos, which was Doctor Strange doing his mumbo jumbo, and as he sets up his big. Oops, I hit my mouse.
Amateur.
As he sets up his big circle of magic, Iron Man just kind of flies through the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if that actually breaks the magic
or not. Iron Man wearing his bleeding heart armor?
Is that what it was?
Is that supposed to be his nano armor?
I think so.
Which, in theory, if it's in him the whole time, that means he would weigh like an extra, 400 kilograms of all the stuff that he's... The amount that his suit weighs that's inside of him.
Except comic logic, so there's probably a reason why it doesn't.
Of course, yeah. So there's that. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. Spidey gets up way high in the atmosphere.
Yeah, he does.
It also, there's a weird continuity thing as well, which makes it seem like there's going to be more than one of those portals. Because I'm assuming it's a portal because it looks like it's a ring, so...
It looks like a big Stargate, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a shot with Spidey... When he's up high, he's wearing his Spidey homecoming suit. And then there's another shot of Spidey standing inside a very similar ring in his Iron Spidey suit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could also be along the lines of the Thor Ragnarok trailers having kind of modified shots so as not to spoil certain events in the endgame.
But it's weird to have him standing in two similar things and then wearing two completely different CGI
suits. It's not well done, but that's the... I don't imagine they'd have the same dramatic Spidey shot happening twice in the same movie.
I'm going with there's multiple portals throughout the movie that they're going to be around.
Or he gets Jarvis, express delivered the costume while he's on the ring.
I would be disappointed if that occurred.
It's like where... He had a different name for it, but the... the robot that brought him the Hulkbuster armor.
April?
No. There was like a name for the delivery system. I don't remember. Let's just say Jeff.
I would be disappointed if Spidey... Basically, he's Iron Man, like 1.5. I'd be disappointed if that was the case.
Iron Spider.
So, yeah. But, I mean, there was some cool stuff in there. There was Thor with Groot and Rocket flying around.
Yep.
Groot looked like to be on a phone or some other device.
And he's grown up a little bit as well.
He's the teenage Groot we see in the in the after credits or mid credits thing in the in Guardians 2. So yeah, it looks pretty cool. Yay, more Wakanda in there as well. So shit's clearly going down in Wakanda, which is why Black Panther has to happen beforehand.
They're really banking on that being a compelling location.
Well, I mean, you can't really go wrong with, like, an exotic location and, like, exotic future sci-fi city in Africa. It is basically the most exotic thing you can get on Earth at the moment.
Exactly.
So...
But, yeah, that's a good Super Bowl trailer haul, I guess, to be followed up with the full Han Solo trailer tomorrow, which... Cool.
Yeah, well, hopefully we get to see a bit more. Hopefully we get to see Han Solo actually acting.
Yeah, you know? Not just shaded.
The rumors have been that the kid was not great, so they had to actually get him some acting lessons. This is stuff that was going on way back when all the shit about the changeover of director and stuff was all about. Apparently, he's not good as well, so they had to get him some acting lessons, that's a crash course on it. But who knows? I mean, that's all hearsay. Hollywood loves to talk about themselves, so
exactly,
it's probably that or could be that. So yeah.
Well, that, it was half an hour. There's not much else going on, which is good. So we can just kind of rattle through the last couple of things I've got here. What do we have? Okay. Firstly, for some reason, Nintendo has announced that their next or an upcoming mobile title will be Mario Kart Grand Prix Tour or World Tour or something. I mean... some of the games so far have been pretty shitty, so if anything's going to be enjoyable on a mobile, a racing game will probably do it. But yeah, it seems like a weird choice. It's also not coming till next year, so cool. Thanks for the heads up, Nintendo.
Yeah, I'll pass.
In more interesting news that I was very happy to pass on to some programmer friends of mine, Nintendo Labo stuff, the cardboard peripherals, preview coverage, apparently there were some events that happened in America so that journalists could get their hands on it. There is a feature with this called Toy-Con Garage, so Toy-Con being the kind of cutesy name they've given for these cardboard peripherals. Basically, it will have a thing built into the Labo system where kids can construct their own cardboard things themselves and program their own games or activities and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's awesome. Like, a learning tool for kids to get them into programming and all that sort of STEM stuff. Wicked.
It looks like a really kind of, like, young kid version of Lego Mindstorms. Shit you could do with that. It looks like a toned-down version of that, from what I saw.
Yeah. I remember Good Game did a series of pieces on their sort of kids' show, Spawn Point. There was this young ingenue kid from Sydney or something who taught himself to program with this thing geared towards kids for programming games, where it was all sort of building blocks that you assemble to build the code. I imagine that the Toy-Con Garage will have something along those lines. Very kind of visual. Like, I mean, they've done Mario Maker, so they've got like a backbone of building a programmable game. And yeah, like, it's not something I'm going to use because I'm a lazy adult, but the idea of like kids full of like creativity and the urge to design and build things, having this suite of tools available to them in like 3 months, that's awesome. Like, good job, Nintendo. I like it. I will allow it. I don't know if I'll pay for it. It's still very expensive. But I do want to try it. So, fingers crossed. Yeah, so that was Nintendo's contributions. Kaz Hirai from Sony stepped down. who has been with the company for a bajillion years. He's been the face of Sony for so long, and he's gone. It's weird. That's all I've got to say about that. Just I saw that happened.
Didn't really know who he was, and still don't really know who he was, except for the guy in charge of Sony.
He's the guy who's like announced the new PlayStations. I think he was the Ridge Racer guy.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, he's always been very involved with kind of the presenting of new Sony concepts and stuff. He's one of those, you know, cute old Japanese businessmen that they just seem to roll out for these kind of companies. In news that might be more interesting to you, there was a date assigned to a certain Cowboy sequel for later this year. The 26th of October is when Red Dead Redemption 2 will arrive.
Yeah. I would definitely be getting excited for that.
People were complaining that it was a delay, but I don't remember them ever announcing a date in the first place.
They never did, no. It was just,
they said 2018. Yeah. So this is still 2018.
Yeah. It's fine. I mean, it happened with GTA a bunch, and everyone loves the shit out of that game, so it's fine.
Oh, wait. Late last year, didn't they announce that it had been pushed to 2018? When it was originally sort of penciled in for late 2017 or something?
I think that the rumors were 2017. I don't think they ever put anything in stone.
Exactly.
But anyway, like you said, like it happened with GTA 5 a bunch, and that
is
the best game in the series by far.
But yeah, it's been dated. Still didn't get any new footage or anything about it. But it's good to know that we have a sort of countdown clock on that game now.
They did release a bunch of screenshots for it.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I didn't even
see. I mean, it looks pretty, but we knew that was going to be looking pretty anyway. Rockstar doesn't just drop a big title without making it look like shit. So, looks good. It looks real good.
Well, that's good. What else do I have? I mean, it's not good news, but there was coverage of the Fantastic Beasts sequel in the past week, because despite the fact that young Dumbledore is a main character alongside Grindelwald, the evil wizard, who after the release of all the Harry Potter books, J.K. Rowling said that Dumbledore was in love with Grindelwald and he was secretly gay the whole time and she just never bothered to write it in the books. So everyone was like, oh, cool, we're going into his past. Like, this will be a chance to kind of embrace that element of his character in a more publicly acknowledgeable forum. And they've gone, oh, no, it'll be hinted at, but it won't be explicit. But we have got a deal for 4 more movies, so we might get into it later.
Well, I mean, Dumbledore in the books was always, to me, just an asexual character. Like, he almost seemed like he'd got past that kind of stuff. Like, his concerns were just like, that's not, like, I've got bigger things to worry about than basically bitches. Be crazy.
See, here's the thing. Fuck off. All of the movie studios and J.K. Rowling and fucking everyone involved with this. It's not the 90s anymore. You don't have to, like, around a gay character. If you've committed to your character being gay, put them on screen as gay. You don't need to have them dancing around in a feather boa and going to the pride parade as part of the plot, but you don't just sidestep the issue. This isn't the 90s. This isn't fucking anime. If you've made a commitment, commit to it. Because guess what? Little gay kids like Harry Potter as well. And if the most powerful wizard in the world is gay and open about it and not fucking dancing around the issue, then that gives them something to look forward to.
See, it's interesting.
I'm so sick of this bullshit.
It's interesting because like I said, I always figured Dumbledore was like kind of an asexual character. Like it seemed like he was kind of above like that kind of personal relationship. And then when the news came out that he was like with his backstory and stuff, and the news came out that when she said, "Oh yeah, by the way, he's gay," I kind of figured that he basically went like, "I will not accept like a position of power like Minister for Magic." He's like, "That's not me." I kind of just put together like he was just like, and he kind of found the danger, the inherent danger of what people you care about or people you can fall in love with can do to you as well. And I figure he just pulled back from it. And it was just like, he then created a specific distance. And that's independent of being gay or straight or whatever. He was just like that. He might have gone like and put a personal blocking for himself. It was just like, I'm pushing away from relationships. I mean, I know you, I can see the look on your face. You give me the like,
yeah.
But it's okay to be gay. It's like, it's perfectly fine. But I was, the impression I got from Dumbledore was that he deliberately pulled away from all that shit that he thought was would tempt him. And that was the character of Dumbledore. And that's not got anything to do with that being gay or not. It's that he realized that there was a problem that he would be susceptible to. And his logical brain went, I'm going to deliberately not.
All of this reads as after-the-fact justification, and it's the exact problem. I mean, in the book, sure, you don't go into the romantic lives of the adults, because it's not about them. It's about the Harry Potter trio and their friends and all the kids overthrowing the nonsense that the adults have left behind. That's fine. Like, the only adults you ever really see any romantic stuff are, like, the parent couples and Tonks and Lupin, because they become a parent couple. But you write the book, you're too chicken shit to embrace the fact that you've decided this character, or it's something you tack on after the fact. Either way, you've then come out publicly as the author of this incredibly famous franchise that is now getting 7 more fucking movies. If you've expanded the lore, I mean, there are other elements from the, what is it called, Pottermore stuff that have been folded into Fantastic Beasts and will be continued to
there's
be.
There's a whole bunch of shit about Minerva McGonagall. That's heartbreaking. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you've committed to all this, and that kind of stuff is getting brought into the lore of these new movies, because a lot of it is backstory for characters who can now be, like, active roles in these films as their younger selves, like with Dumbledore. So, it doesn't have to be the Rainbow Dumbledore show, but you can't avoid that entirely. It is such a wuss-out move, and it is not a thing that should be happening in 2018.
Yeah, but like, if it's not, if that character is not about, if he's just not about relationships or whatever, it's not about being gay or straight. If he just, he's just like, I'm not forming that kind of personal relationship, then it doesn't matter. You don't need, like, there's no, like, you don't, there's no, like, I guess, like, there's nothing about, he seems like an asexual character. Like, I figured he was always asexual in the, when I read the original character.
Because he was written that way, yeah. But he's not. And this is a movie about the relationship between Dumbledore and Grindelwald in the time when J.K. Rowling has said this whole secret love was going on, and then to not address it at all. Or, you know, maybe give like a sly wink at one point during the movie.
Well,
it pisses me off.
I get that. And what I expect them to do is it will come out in the famous duel between Grindelwald and Dumbledore. Like, you know that, you know, in episode 3 of Star Wars where Obi-Wan and Anakin have that full face-off, and that's the emotions pour out. It's like, but you know, Obi-Wan's like, you're the chosen one. I expect if they're going to do it, it'd be most poignant there to do it, because Dumbledore, over the backstory, like, he literally refuses to do anything about Grindelwald. Like, refuses to face him, refuses to do anything about him until he finally breaks, and I'm assuming that's going to be a break point, and then that's where I would logically do it.
The problem is that's then leading into the tortured queer and bury your gays tropes, which have been a major problem for any kind of cinema involving queers for decades. You can only be openly gay when you're about to die or are otherwise grievously harmed, and it can only come out as a tortured scene instead of something that's just openly discussed in, you know, the non-dramatic moments of the movie.
I mean, there's plenty of non-gay versions of that kind of tortured stuff in Harry Potter as well.
Oh, there are. But this is, like, one of the most overarching issues with gay cinema. Set aside gay men, like lesbians, like, they do nothing but die in cinema, TV, everything. It's ridiculous when you actually stack up the stats to it. And just with that kind of background information, it just seems ridiculous to me that anything can justify this kind of thing and just sweeping it under the rug. And I know I'm heavily invested in this stuff because of who I am as a human being, but it's still just infuriating. And this is on top of the fact that they've kept Johnny Depp on the cast when all of the allegations have come out and been sort of supported about him. And he's still playing this albino clusterfuck of a character.
Bottom line, he still pulls money. Don't have to like it, but it's Hollywood is a money game. And while people pull money,
trash fire that we keep
throwing.
Dude,
don't get me wrong. Like, Hollywood has got some of the dodgiest shit in the world, but names keep pulling money, and money will be always be the driving force behind who gets what gets made. It's all money. Transformers movies will get fucking made.
Oh, God, don't even. But at least the gay romances of the Autobots are not swept under the rug for the sake of mainstream cinema. Anyway, that's enough focusing on me being angry for this episode. That's my section. Matt's angry screaming corner. Literally the only other thing I have to say anything about before we very briefly touch on the games we've been playing is actually a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you will be as up to date, but The Good Place season 2 finale.
Oh man, I haven't watched it yet. No, that was good. That's on tonight's docket. Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Watch it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So won't spoil anything for either season. I know we're a year past the season 1 finale, but there are still people who are just checking it out because it's come to Netflix. Season 1 finale flipped everything on its head. Season 2 started, flipped everything on its head a couple times. Season 2 finale manages to do it again. Like, I didn't know how they were going to do it and make it believable as opposed to just being a stunt thing, like an M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong kind of move. But Mike sure figured out a way, and I am so excited that it's already been confirmed for season 3 because I will be watching the shit out of that.
It's one of the best sitcoms going around at the moment.
And without spoiling anything, there's also a very, very emotionally manipulative moment where they show Ted Danson tending bar.
Nice.
So that's just rude. I really enjoyed it, and I can't wait for season 3. And also on Netflix, I need to hurry up and check out Altered Carbon because everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, apparently it's pretty good. It's not like insanely good, but apparently it's good.
Yeah, I've heard that the lighting in it is really interesting. I saw a gif of like a female character with, you know, brightly colored wig kind of hair leaning over a male character, and there was all these cool like blues and pinks lighting her up. It seemed very cyberpunk. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. I'll be checking out at some point as well.
Definitely. Before the next fucking show drops. Like, I just don't keep up with Netflix stuff anymore.
I haven't really kept up with a lot of stuff over this summer. There's just been too much to do. I've been otherwise occupied with things. So, yeah, there's lots of stuff I've got to catch up on. There's plenty of winter to sit inside and do nothing when it's pissing around with rain. Like, two degrees. That's
true. In the gaps between everything else releasing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited because Shadow of the Colossus comes out in 2 days and I can't wait to play that again. But what have you been playing this week, Cliff?
I played more PUBG.
Wow, good story.
Mm-hmm. And also some Kerbal Space Program.
I did see you actually playing that.
Mm-hmm.
I committed to going back to playing Final Fantasy XII. It took me about 10 minutes to figure out where in the menus to find the current story prompt to know where the fuck I was meant to go. And then I forgot how the combat worked, so I died in combat very quickly. But it's still a very good game, and the fast-forward mechanic is excellent for the slow traversal. Aside from that, based on the fact that I remembered that I owned a shirt branded for the game and wore it to work the other day, I started playing Stardew Valley again. And I didn't have to worry about learning the mechanics because that game's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have to restart the day I got back because I forgot to pat my chickens and I didn't want them to be sad.
It happens a bunch. Yeah.
Also, I went to the mines and lost 11 floors, which was rude. So not dealing with that because I had forgotten and was reminded that I'd lost my super cool sword as one of the items that was taken from me when I died one time without realizing.
That does happen.
Bummer. And it was a unique sword that I can't rebuy or anything. Ugh.
Was it the prismatic sword or whatever it is?
And it was like an obsidian blade or something. Around the 60th floor.
It's not even that good.
But it was like 20 damage more than anything else I had on hand, which was just a bummer. So I'm back to using the dumb mallet. Stupid mallet. And I'm not going to go into the mines for a while because I died again and it made me sad. And instead, I'm just going to go do fun stuff.
Just wait till you do the skull cave.
Oh, God, no. I got far enough that I found like the super powerful magnet ring and the super powerful glow at night ring.
The glow at night ring is the best thing in the world.
Yeah, I only found the little one for ages. I just didn't get the drop for the large glow ring or whatever it's actually called. It finally happened like 20 floors later. I was like, yes, now I can see where I'm going at night. Especially when I'm playing in daylight in the real world, because the screen is good, but it's not great for direct sunlight. So that's what I've been playing.
Cool.
Cool.
That's all I've been doing.
Yeah. So that's the show, I guess. Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in for some entertainment news, a tiny bit of video games, and a lot of me being angry. I hope that appeals to you because I'm leaving it in the show.
If you like our opening and closing music, it's called Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy. It's by Rocco W. You can go to Bandcamp to find a bunch of his stuff and listen to some more stuff. You know, buy it and like it and all that sort of stuff. And you can also find it around the place on various other music-related sites. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, show him some love. If you want to find us on the internets, we can be found at multiple locations for your convenience. Indoorsmanpodcast.com, at Indoorsmanpod for Twitter and Instagram, Indoorsmanpod on Facebook. All of those are available for you to interact with us. Please come and say hello.
And if you want to get in contact with us specifically, you can get myself on Twitter at CliffandMonkey or Matt at Ponk. And if you want to email us, you can get to us via contact@indoorsmanpodcast.com.
That is correct. We'd also love it if, while you're out there just engaging with all of our social channels, you could also review, rate, subscribe to the show on your podcast catcher of choice, because that's good for us. And what's good for us is good for you.
It's better for us.
It's mainly good for us.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
Big bucks.
Yeah. Big bucks.
But for now, he's been Matt.
And he has been Cliff. So by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying... Actually, asking a question. If you designed your own Nintendo Labo peripheral, what form would it take?
Murder.
I mean, that's not so much a form as a federal crime.
Maybe if the way you do it. But it's an art form for me. So, murder is a form.
I was gonna say a kitty, but alright. Cool.
Don't act like cats aren't little, like, adorable murder machines.
Yeah, true. Mine's not very good. I think she's defective.